So I got a few jokes to start us off with.
Awesome.
Sometimes we get a little too dry at the beginning, but this time I have a few jokes and I'd like to do them now. And so you guys can pick what your favorite joke is.
Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the stage, Griffin McElroy.
Hey everyone, it's me, Griffin McElroy. I have three jokes. And so here comes the first one, hot and ready for you. Hey guys, what is Nemesis from Resident Evil 3, his favorite song from La La Land?
What is it?
Thanks for asking, Chris. City of Stars. So that's the first one. And okay. Here comes the second one ready for you. What is Nemesis's favorite accomplished actor? And that one's don't even ask because it's Peter Sarsgaard. And then the third one's what's his favorite new wave band? And that one's The Cars. But he would say it in the way he says the other two.
Okay. I love it. Is he touring or is it just local shows right now?
He better not be touring. How bad a guy is he? Come on. Even Nemesis respects social distancing.
He's a bit of a problematic fave, so he is not necessarily touring right now, but he does have a few online specials that people are just going gaga for. Love
and
this
he's working
guy
on
addition.
He's also working on something with Gaga. It's a partnership.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Can I share a joke with you?
Oh, yeah. Ladies and gentlemen of the stage, Chris Plant.
Who is my favorite investigator? No. Oh no. Oh, okay. Here. Okay. Sorry. I got like stage. I'm not used to this. Like
this
you all
is
are.
Recent. Okay. I feel like I'm in a haunted house right now. Spirits okay, and chills are on every corner here, with you guys.
Here we go. Who is Nemesis's favorite investigator of the Clinton administration?
Okay, the show is canceled. That's it. We're done. We're not making more.
No more besties. Enjoy the next podcast. It should be starting right now. This one's canceled. My name is Justin McElroy, and I know the best game of the week.
My name is Griffin McElroy, and I know the best game of the week.
My name is Chris Plant, and I definitely played a video game this week.
My name is Russ Rushing, and I know the best remake that came out last year, which was better than this one.
Oh, welcome to the besties, a video game book club, except it's about a book club about video games. It's a game of the year show that goes all year long. It's the besties.
We talk about our favorite
yes,
books
yes.
about video games. Mm-hmm. Last 15 episodes, we did Ready Player One. This time, we're going to do Ready Player One again because there's a lot of depths there to plumb.
How do we make books more interesting, like more badass? That is my concern because we talk about book club. I feel like people are not going to be super pumped.
Chainsaw gun. Books don't have chainsaw gun in them yet. Nobody's written a book with chainsaw gun.
Or
in them
you like set a bunch of books on fire.
Yeah,
that'd be pretty bad.
That's not a good idea.
This week we're talking about Resident Evil 3, not Resident Evil 3 Nemesis, which is a very different game. The Resident Evil 3 Nemesis came out in 1999. Resident Evil 3 came out in Friday. So that's a different thing. It's two different games. They both got Nemesis in them, but he lost his billing. I guess his agent kind of is asleep at the wheel because he had that below the title credit, but now it is gone.
Let's talk about what this game is, Justin.
Okay, Resident Evil 3 is another Resident Evil game. I mean, I don't even know how to say it in a way that's more interesting than that. It is a Resident Evil game. It is a remake of Resident Evil 3, like I said, that came out. And this is a sort of a pseudo-sequel in that sense, to Resident Evil 2, the remake, that came out just last year. All the graphics are updated. All the talking is different. All the, the puzzles reimagined, controls are different. It's very much a reimagining. It's a remake. It's more of a remake because I feel like reimagining would be even more different than this. It is a remake of that 1999 game that came with demo discs of Dino Crisis, by the way, just to tie it back all together.
making it the superior game de facto because this one didn't have any Dino Crisis in it, which is frustrating for me as a consumer.
Right. Big differences from this to RE2. One is rather than picking a protagonist, you're kind of like switching as the story progresses between Jill Valentine and Carlos, who is Carlos new at this point? This is the franchise mythos that is the hardest for me to keep track of.
I think this is the first time Carlos has showed up because I don't think he was in the first Resident Evil game.
He was. He was in, he was in Resident Evil. He was in Nemesis. Yeah, in Nemesis.
No, yeah, right.
No. I mean, at this point in the franchise. In the right. Yeah. There's a lot of overlap between Resident Evil 2 and Resident Evil 3. I think sometimes it kind of starts to feel a little bit like a sort of a side story. You return to
the environments. Well, it's a prequel. It's a prequel sequel, right? Like, there is a time skip in the middle of Resident Evil 3 during which I believe the entire plot of Resident Evil 2 takes place. If I'm reading
there is literally, Griffin, no way of knowing what he just said is true or untrue. It's unverifiable.
No, the way I know that this takes place in the exact same time is because the book assets in both games are the exact same. Right. When you walk up to any random book, it's the exact same weird collection of books that was in Resident Evil 2. This is a weird game, y'all. I was shocked that this was going to come out a year after Resident Evil 2. Having played it, I am not shocked.
Yeah.
It's wild to play a game that both looks very beautiful and high touch and also feels very slapdash. Like, we are going to get this out the door within a year, whether it was like despite everything.
There's here's the question I want to pose to you. I think we're all, before, unless I'm completely wrong, this is hitting for all of us less than it hit than Resident Evil 2 hit, correct?
Yes.
Is that fair to say?
I don't know.
Is it just novelty or is there another aspect to it?
No, there's another aspect to it. Okay. So if you look at like when the original Resident Evil 2 came out and then when the original Resident Evil 3 came out, there was a huge gulf in terms of like critical support for one versus the other. Resident Evil 2 was like a groundbreaking moment. Resident Evil 3 was like, yeah, it's all right. And I don't think it's just because it was like the
incorrect.
First game.
Incorrect.
What?
Resident Evil 3 was very well received.
What you're saying.
Not as well received as 2, though.
Resident Evil 3 got 4 stars from Next Generation, the last good video game magazine, 9.4 from IGN, 5 stars from GamePro, 5 stars OPM, 10 out of 10 from OPM UK. I mean, it's 9 out of 10 from CBG. Like, it was extremely well received. I mean, in aggregate, it's like 88% positive.
But I think historically, I think one has stood out versus the other. I think 2 remains the like one of the gold standards of the franchise, whereas 3 has kind of been forgotten.
I don't disagree.
Also on its legacy, going off Metacritic here, not that this is the end-all be-all of criticism, released on the Dreamcast in 2079. By the time it was released on PC a year later, it was 71. So the love for Nemesis had a precipitous drop-off, I think, once people got off that high of new Resident Evil.
It isn't, and not just new Resident Evil, right? It's like Resident Evil 1 on PlayStation was like, holy shit, like a complete literal game changer in like what games could do. And then Resident Evil 2 one-upped it in every conceivable way and was so fucking big and cool and good. Resident Evil 3, I think, probably just got a little bit of that, like drafted off that a little bit of people like, yeah, more of this cool, big, good shit. But by the time the Dreamcast came out, like people were like, well, wait a minute, now there's more cool, big, good shit. So it's maybe not just good enough to be...
Yeah, I think it's a BioShock Infinite situation, to be honest.
I also think Resident Evil 3 is the turning point for the series, which seems silly because it's so early and obviously Resident Evil 4 still happens and people love it. But if you watch the Fast and the Furious franchise, big Fast and the Furious fan right here. One, deeply grounded compared to everything else. Film, 2 and 3, it's kind of getting out there. 4 and 5, they're starting to like glow pop. And by like, once you get to 6 and 7, they are just superhero movies. They're jumping between skyscrapers with cars. They're defying physics, right? And you kind of hit that point, and then you can't recover from it. You've gone so high that you can't go any higher.
Saints Row.
Has a similar thing. Yeah. And I think the same thing happens with Resident Evil. Resident Evil 1 is is Dawn of the Dead, right? It is this small movie that happens in a mansion. Obviously, it has some big moments. Resident Evil 2 is the what if that, but like big, you know, in a city. And then Resident Evil 3 is like rocket launchers, right? Yep. Like,
and that's
megamorphs.
Yeah.
Like, it just.
That's what I wanted to sort of dive into, is like that aspect, the action aspect. And I think this carries through all of the Resident Evil franchise through and through.
Yes.
Because the second. Like, it seems like there's an exponential connection to more action, worse game. Hmm. I think the more action they add, I think the games get worse.
I don't think that's true, because I you can call this a turning point, whatever. Resident Evil 4 whips ass. I think the question is
that's a slow game. For most of that game, that's like a slow.
You cannot.
That's not an action game.
Okay, let's establish the scale, okay? And it's funny because on either sides of this franchise, Resident Evil 1 and Resident Evil 7, those are horror games.
Sure.
Those are games where you are fairly powerless, mm-hmm. and you are in small, intimate environments that are. Scary because of the intimacy of them, right? Resident Evil 2, I think, walks a really fine line, especially when you're at the beginning, when you're in the police station, and you don't have rocket launcher. The time to grenade launcher in this game is fucking wild, because it is not that long. In Resident Evil 2, though, like, you are fairly powerless in this police station where the danger escalates like really quickly, and even seeing like one zombie in a hallway is enough to be like kind of scary, in the way that Resident Evil 1, the first time that zombie looks up at you with like gore dripping down its mouth, is fucking terrifying. Resident Evil 3, you're fighting a big zombie with a literal rocket launcher, like fairly early on. And then it's like, well, that's ridiculous. That's not scary at all. And that's fine, because you can also be a badass action game like Resident Evil 4 was, but like, you can't be both at that point.
I think the problem is the sustaining tension.
Yeah.
Which I think this game is, Resident Evil 3 is still trying to sustain tension even when you have an assault rifle. And I think that, like, if you were to draw a graph, the appearance of an assault rifle in a game and a de-escalation of tension is like paralleled, right?
Totally.
I feel like in this game, most of the encounters felt annoying, because it's like, oh, there's four zombies in here. Okay, well, let me systematically kill all these zombies, and now wait, I have to go to each zombie and execute it with a bullet, or else it'll get back up in a second, and that'll be irritating. I don't want to have to fool with that. And that is what the encounters sort of felt like. And even the bigger enemies were just like these take a lot more bullets, but it's not that interesting in and of itself, the from encounter to encounter. Like, the zombies aren't scary if you are methodical about eliminating them, and that's not fun. I also add one other point to that ties into the methodical, like, the graphics are obviously modern, they're much better than they were in 1999, and this is partially, I know you can almost always make this complaint with action games, but like, there is something to me, and I think it's in part because of the time period that we're in right now, where like, going person to person and just sort of systematically executing people that look like people, like very sick people, and like shooting these photorealistic people in the head and watching their heads explode is like not, is like less fun than ever before. I feel like, especially when they're like lying on the ground, I'm like, well, I got to go around and shoot all these people in the head.
Now,
just kind of execute them. What?
In the game's defense, sometimes it's better to use your knife to stab them in the head.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just like, you talk about Animal Crossing coming out at the exact right time. Like, the very first words of this game are like, the fucking quarantine's not working. Quick, just start shooting everybody. We're all
CDC
fucked. It's like, worst timing possible.
Fresh, what are you going
to
say?
Well, I just wanted to talk a little bit about Nemesis specifically, and why he sort of sucks.
Yeah.
Even though he was effectively in two, kind of.
No, Tyrant was it. My
Tyrant.
Boy, Tyrant was in two.
Okay, well,
that's scary.
That's what I wanted
fuck.
To talk about. I didn't remember that his name was Tyrant. I always remember him as the large detective, but like, that's fine. There's like
the
a big difference.
Detective.
I mean, he has the fedora and the, you know,
he's a large detective.
That's all he is.
My lady.
So, there's something
this
very
summer
menacing.
He's teaming up with Pikachu for Big Detective, Small Detective.
So there's something very menacing about a large detective that you hear walking outside of the door, and like you hear his footsteps, and you open the door, and he doesn't have a fucking virus arm. He just has a fedora and a coat, and he'll punch you in the face. There's something more menacing of that than there is of like this weird like mutant like skin muscly creature thing that has a rocket launcher for an arm. Like, there's nothing grounded about that. Whereas like, I could see Large Detective on the street and like be really scared because it like relates to my personal being.
If you want to talk about like what fear is, it is the unexpected, right? And yes. Nemesis blends in. So Nemesis is just big zombie, and then sometimes he has a rocket launcher, and at that point the fear is completely gone. Resident Evil 2, you have these like you have zombies, you have these like mutant lizard monster fuckers that like climb all over the walls, and that's all like, whoa, this police station sure is wicked fucked up. But then you just see like a big man with a gray face calmly walking in the middle of that shit. That is terrifying.
Yeah.
That is so scary.
I think it's a big difference between walking and running at you. With Nemesis, You're constantly running, and what that creates is, well, especially once he starts shooting at you, it's like, well, I don't know where he is, but I know he's basically behind me. And it's just this annoying guessing game of like, when should I dodge? Like, which way should I go? I'm not looking at him. I'm not seeing him. The pacing of Tyrant is like, he is coming in your direction. It's more it follows, kind of.
Yeah.
It's like, I think it's scarier to know that he's coming, but like not. And I feel like it was also more procedural. Like, and maybe that's like just my impression, but I feel
it seemed less
Nemesis
scripted.
Is much more scripted.
Yeah. What were you saying, Plant?
I was going to make a recommendation for everybody. have you all downloaded Apple TV?
No.
Yeah? Yeah, yeah, none of you? Okay. So on Apple TV, there's a show called Mythic Quest. It's by
Apple
one of
TV
the,
Plus, you mean?
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, I was very confused.
And it's by one of the somebody who worked on Community and one of the co-creators of It's Always Sunny.
Yeah.
And the show is like fine. It's about how people make video games.
It's pretty good.
It's fine. It's not terrible. It's, you know what? It'd be a good show to watch now if you like need to burn through something that's very watchable.
Yeah.
But there's an episode in the middle of it. It's a bottle episode. It's like episode 4 or 5, and this. If you have access to a free month of this subscription, you should definitely check it out. And it is basically a 20-year span of a couple making the Resident Evil games. Mm. Like it begins in the 90s with what is like clearly a game inspired by Resident Evil. And as it grows and grows, all the pressure that they feel to add guns and kill states and like make this a big blockbuster. At one point, like it turns into a movie and thing. And I think I love that this show exists, because I think it's very hard to explain to people why Resident Evil happens. Like this isn't, I seriously doubt this is a creative decision of one individual who's just gradually wanted to make this into some weird abstract military action film. I think there are all these little pressures in the video game industry to not make the character who can't be killed effectively and just walks around wearing a fedora into something that is like sinewy and gory and looks good as a standee in GameStop and also has a rocket launcher, because rocket launchers are the favorite weapons in video games.
Right.
There's also a weird thing with Nemesis where if you drop a grenade at him, he'll drop some nice stuff for you, which is very bizarre. But
he's
the
so
first
generous.
Time you throw a grenade at him and it explodes, he's like, ah, shit, I dropped my damn pistol scope. It's like, oh, thank you. That's
so generous
of you.
I think it's like a barter system.
Yeah, it's a little nice thing for sale, stars.
I'm going to lay down here. There's no reason for it. Makes no sense. It's just if you blow him up, you get some good stuff from time to time.
Unexpectedly delightful. I thought Jill Valentine is maybe the most I've ever liked a protagonist in a Resident Evil game. She drops fucking the hottest lines like ever, including the last line that she drops in the game is so fucking fresh and good.
There's a great part where Nemesis runs out on fire and fall, like she's a good distance away on a bridge, and Nemesis smashes through a wall, runs out on fire, and falls into the river. And Jill just keeps walking and goes, Bitch can't even swim.
It's so funny.
It's so good. I also want to talk about the, I feel like there is a loss of vibe in the environment. The mansion in one, very specific. Mm-hmm. Two, beginning in the police station and then branching out from that point.
Totally.
To, and then the it immediately drops you into like a city, which a downtown area, which should have a vibe, but just feels, it feel that it's so incongruous to Earth that it, I think it like, it very much loses a, the sort of like claustrophobic vibe that you get from one and two. And the city is just bizarre. Like there is a very tiny, there's a supermarket that is two aisles. That's not a supermarket. I don't know what you're doing.
I mean,
there's,
it's a bodega, but there's whatever.
It's labeled supermarket. There's a train museum that also is where you control trains. What the fuck? What is this building? Like, it's got a neon sign out front advertising like train museum. Like, what is this city? There's a toy store with a two-story tall toy head hovering precariously over you. It is bizarre.
I think the issue here is if you think about 8-bit video games, right? Where it's like, why is Mario a plumber? I can't remember if this is actually true or not, but it's like, oh, well, if we give him suspenders, you know, there's like, with a very limited visual palette that we can use to design a character, we can convey that this person has some job. Or like, we put a hat on people. On Animal Crossing, in the original one, they put horns on the characters to convey whether they were male or female by the shape of their horns. They come up with these like very specific things to communicate visual information when you only have a few sprites or a few polygons. So I think like when Resident Evil 3 came out, they're like, we can't do great detail. We need to show this is a toy store. So we're going to go big. Like,
right.
you'll be able to tell it's a toy store. When making the remake, and you have all of the tools to make this look as believable as you need, you don't have to use these simple, you know, you don't have to use simple iconography to convey it. You can just make a toy store, and people will know it's a toy store. But instead, they took it very literal.
There's also two sides of the downtown area that are, like, all the streets that people use are, like, closed off from trash. And so if you want to get from one part of downtown to the other, it's like, oh, that's easy. You just walk into the donut shop and then walk through the donut shop to the other half of town. That's how everybody does it. We all classic. Just go through the donut shop. Or, you know what? Now that I think about it, you could climb into the fucking drugstore owner's window and walk through his private home and then climb out another one and go down a fire escape. Then you'll be on the other side of town as well. Those are the two ways you can get from one side of town to the other.
You know, it's great. You don't need a car. It's just like a walking city. It's great.
It's a walking city and a climbing city because you're climbing into the drugstore owner's window. I don't know. I we're dumping on this a lot. It's fine, right? It's fine. It's like, especially when there's nothing coming out, it's like very passable. I think that it's kind of cool. I don't think you're losing much from Resident Evil 3. It doesn't seem to me like it just, it's flat compared to Resident Evil 2. And I do think also it's suffering from the fact that it's so close to Resident Evil 2.
I think it does not stand up to comparison to Resident Evil 2 very well at all. But I don't think that that's the remake's fault as much as it is the source material's fault. I've been sitting here trying to, because we've been talking about, I think the discussion of like horror versus action, especially when framed in the context of the Resident Evil franchise, is really interesting. But I've been sitting here trying to think, because we got into it a little bit last week with Half-Life Alyx, which... Mm-hmm. Yeah, I made the argument like transition into a horror game because they couldn't make it a very good action game. I'm sitting here trying to think of like the last time a game actually scared me or like suspended me in a state of fear or anxiety. And I honestly can't,
just a broken boy that doesn't
he's
get
just
scared?
A very brave boy. That's what he's bragging about.
I guess
about
I'm extremely brave. Well, no, it's like, what is scary in a video? Like, what is still scary in a video game? Because I think Resident Evil 3 also suffers from like, what we are able to be scared by in video games has changed since it changed from Resident Evil 2 to Resident Evil 3 when it first came out in the late 90s. Like,
sure,
maybe back in 1999, like a big monster with a rocket launcher is scary, but that is like not scary anymore today.
So Resident Evil 7 is scary.
Resident Evil 7 is scary as fuck because it's like trying different stuff than it has a different kind of fear than the Resident Evil series ever.
I will say I stopped I know you guys have stopped playing Half-Life Alyx, but I've continued playing. I had legit like nightmares and like had to sit and like stare at a wall for an hour after a sequence that I played the other night. Like,
because you're so nauseous.
No, I was not. In this one case, my tummy was very strong, but my mind was weak. I was totally stricken by fear in that game, to the point where I was like, I needed to talk to people to see if there was going to be any moment that was on the level that I just experienced. It was so disturbing. So it happens still.
Yeah, I actually
just
think
he's just brave.
I actually think some of that part has been taken by the Souls games.
Yeah, I was just thinking that.
It's very much like it's the same. What is it? Okay, why does the ink ribbon exist? Why are resources so limited? Why is all that stuff? It's just to like give you the tension of loss, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I can't fucking die here, please. Yeah. That's very much removed in these remakes. You can save whenever you want to. Like, there's plenty of resources. Like, I never, I don't know about y'all, I never ran out of ammo. I mean, it was not.
I mean, it's funny because you were ragging on Alyx a little bit for giving too little ammo.
Right, and ragging on Resident Evil 3.
It's almost like there's a balance between good and bad.
Well, no, because in Resident Evil 3, that idea, I think they are also going for it. You start with 8 inventory spaces, and they fill up pretty much instantly. The ammo's not super, like, it does not flow like milk and honey at the beginning of the game, and so this idea of you having to be methodical in killing zombies, now you have this, like, balancing act of like, well, do I want to be methodical and wipe them out so I don't get bitten, or do I want to just try and run right through because then I can save some ammo? Like, that idea that exists in the Souls games exists here too. This idea of like scarcity as fuel for fear, like a mechanical source of fear, it exists, but like for some reason, I mean, not for some reason, like they didn't, there are a lot of reasons why it just doesn't work as well this time, I feel like.
Yeah.
That's Resident Evil 3, right? We got it. Anybody else have any other big points you want to get to?
Does anybody want... What's the next, like... Resident Evil 1 remake feels like an obvious... Like, even though they've remade that, what, twice already at this point?
Yes.
Like, what's the next thing?
That's the one thing I do want to talk about really quick that I think is like gets to that, which is we now know the Resident Evil cycle. Talking about, you know, getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And we saw that go from Resident Evil 1 to Resident Evil 6, which... I mean, is a nightmare. Resident Evil 5 was the one, I think, where you fight at a volcano. It ends with a volcano boss fight with a teleporting scientist.
There were some fun parts in 5.
Bad guy. Yeah, 6 is like the one with helicopters in a city. 6 and then sucks. 7. Yeah, 7 is, I think, a masterpiece. The weird thing about 7 is I feel like it's the entire series in one game. 7 starts with you're like, you have nothing. It's just a horror movie. Kind of playing with like found footage the same way that Resident Evil 1 played with Romero, and then by the end of it you are on a oil tanker or some sort of large boat with an assault rifle just like spraying and praying, like the end of Resident Evil, which felt like it felt like the perfect culmination of the Resident Evil series. What's weird now, and I saw somebody, I think somebody wrote about this a little bit on Fanbyte, but these games are just blending together. That like Resident Evil 2 is a remake of Resident Evil 2, but it's also kind of playing with stuff from the other parts of the series. Resident Evil 3 feels even more like that, where it's technically remaking Nemesis, but again, it feels even more action heavy and big. It opens with a first person sequence that is like Resident Evil 7. I guess the next step of what do you make, just in terms of if you want to make a lot of money, is you remake Resident Evil 4. Like, that's the break the bank, right? Like, they've remade 1 a million times. 4 seems like the thing.
RE4 in VR would be fucking cool. Like, the Wii version of RE4 for me is the optimal version. I love that version of the game. Like, the actual motion controls being pretty fucking great. But, like, how do you one-up that? I don't necessarily think you can unless it's in VR. That would be pretty astounding.
I think you could get away with Code Veronica first.
Really?
I think I think you could get away with Code Veronica or maybe not Zero. They just did a Zero remaster. That was released on the Switch last year. I mean,
Dino Crisis.
That would be going back to the well. Dino Crisis. Too soon, but
Dino Crisis.
Yeah, Dino, I think that would be preferred. I would much rather they do Dino Crisis. Or this is not even the same publisher, but where's Parasite Eve at? You know, if we're going to do these old PlayStation games, give me my Parasite Eve remake. Yes. That's number one on the list. Do it.
Thank you.
There's
Thank
money
you.
To be made.
Thank you. I think we'll just keep talking about Dino Crisis until someone just makes... We're going to keep that torch alive, right? We will... What was the one? Oh, you guys are good. What was the one that was? Oh God, this is going to irritate me. It was like, it was sort of the similar tank controls, but it was two women.
And it was like a dead effect. Or dead? Something effect.
I want to say Double Helix.
Fear Effect Double Helix was the second game in the series, I believe.
It was like a cel-shaded.
Yes, Fear Effect Double Helix.
And they released a new one very recently.
Did they?
Really?
Yes.
That's bizarre.
It's like a top-down isometric game. We're just getting into the this is real weeds. Y'all, I think this means it is time for us to take a break.
Please.
It's past time. It's past time. It's past time.
So I don't know if you guys are aware, but I've been trying to get a little bit of extra side money lately. And I actually picked up a job as an HR representative for Umbrella Corporation. I don't know if you're familiar with what they do. They're a biopharmaceutical company. They make a lot of useful products for people helping our world. And we actually have some internships open and available. Oh. And I thought maybe you guys were interested and would like to come in and maybe sit down.
That's good. It's just that maybe I might be an undercover journalist working with someone to try and bust y'all's ass wide open.
Yeah, but are you?
No.
You're not. Because you have to tell me if you are.
But I could be. And the fact that you didn't ask me ahead of time maybe means that I should have your job. So.
I'd like to interview for your job.
That's unacceptable. There's only one HR rep here. It's taken a really long time to get hiring up and running. So
can I ask a question? I'm sort of, you know, I work online. Mm-hmm. Maintaining my image is really important to me.
Sure.
What is Resident Evil? What does the Umbrella Corporation sort of bring in terms of that? Is this going to milkshake duck me?
No. You know, I wouldn't worry at all. Now, let me start by saying this is an internship, but there's definitely room for growth. So I don't know if you're aware, but our marketing budget is through the roof. So you can actually see employees all over the world through our billboards and ad campaigns, standing usually in lab coats and with like beakers. And they actually... All of them started as interns. So like that could be you. You could be the face of Umbrella.
I saw David Beckham do a sponsored Instagram ad of him just chugging a beaker of some sort of fluid. And he says, boy, I love Umbrella. So that is obviously you all are rolling in it. I want to cut me off a piece of that spondooly.
Now, let me ask you a serious question for the group. What would you say are your weaknesses?
I'll be really honest with you. I've long wanted to get a career in science, but I've found, I don't know about y'all, but my Bachelor of Fine Arts in playwriting has not been especially great at helping me get a career as science doctor.
It's not really helping now either, to be honest.
It's not. See, I was hoping that, you know, my expertise in not knowing anything about the scientific method, not having any idea of standards or ethic protocol, but being able to tell a good yarn might be the type of thing that could, you know, get me in well at the Umbrella Corporation.
Mm. So, Griffin and Justin, now that we've ruled out Chris Plant as a useful employee.
I have a weakness. My weakness, and you'll find this out if you do any sort of digging, so I'll just get out in front of it. My weakness is that good green herb. I do have a tendency, I'm hooked on this stuff. I have a tendency to leave potted plants of that good green herb everywhere in my office. I put them in lockers sometimes just to keep them fresh in there. I'll leave them growing. I'll scatter them on the ground. I'm really careless about that good green herb. And I don't know. And I've been dabbling with the good red herb too.
No, Justin. I know
it's embarrassing. Sometimes I even mix them together, but I do leave them sort of scattered about my workplace.
Sure.
And allow myself to be killed by any zombies in the room rather than consume this delicious herb. You guys ever think about that? Man, there's no fucking way I'm leaving that herb there and then getting killed by zombies in the same room. No chance. Anyway.
I don't know if you're aware, but we are working on a new formula which actually combines green, red, and yellow.
No, that's too many herbs. You're making fucking pesto at that point, Umbrella. Yeah, I would say my greatest weakness is that I have too many ideas about how to make medicine taste really good.
What would be one of them?
You mix in flavorings, like you just take the medicine, like you have medicine that makes you get younger, but it tastes really yucky, and then you can just go to a snow cone shop and just juice some of the juices that they put on the snow cone right into the medicine, shake it up. So that's like one, and then you also get more of the medicine. So that's just one idea that I have.
That's good enough that I'm going to bow out, actually.
Yeah, sorry. I do have one more weakness that I feel like, you know, it's embarrassing. But at night, I turn into an 8-foot-tall gray man in a fedora hat.
Large detective. We call him the large detective.
Actually a benefit, but that's okay. Interesting. Yeah. Can anyone compete with that?
I turn into a 9-foot-tall gray man.
Oh, and I have seen Griffin. He does have a rocket launcher for an arm.
It's true, and it's full of ice pop flavorings. They're delicious and incredible. Give me this job, Russ. I fucking need it.
Okay, we'll be in touch.
End of skit. What's our next skit, Justin?
The next skit is the three of us are going to tell you about the new PlayStation 5 controller.
Yeah, so we discussed this briefly before we started recording. I've been a little out of the loop because I'll be honest, guys, gaming is not my top priority right now, and I'm amazed that it's your guys's. So I miss a few stories here and there, but I think I'm focusing on the important stuff. I saw a cool cloud today.
What if I told you? Imagine a black PlayStation controller.
He hasn't seen it yet.
I know. I was gonna describe it to him and see if he believes this, if he thinks this is real or not.
Okay.
imagine a black PlayStation controller. Okay, you have that in your head.
Yes.
Now smooth it out. Take the Photoshop option to just smooth all those edges. Right.
Okay.
Now cover it in Stormtrooper armor, Stormtrooper armor, only covering half of its body. That vibrates like locust wings at any
that
given
sounds
moment.
Sounds fucking cool to me so far.
Are you imagining it? You imagining it? I'm going to drop it in the chat. You can get your first look at
what's
the DualSense 5.
The Soul Sense.
The DualSense. Not 5, just the DualSense. Huh.
Griffin reacted like someone threw acid in his face.
Well, no, it's just like it's a little more Ouya-y than I think I was expecting.
So what are the big changes?
There's something about the two-tone nature of it that like makes it look so weird. Like it makes it look so like York. I don't think that actually the form factor is going to be that different from a PlayStation controller, right? It's just that like the sort of circular indentations on the DualShock 4 is just like not going to be circular. It's just kind of one smooth arc. The triggers look really weird though, huh?
Yeah, the triggers are tension triggers. So if you're like, the example they gave is if you're pulling back a bow, it'll actually be harder to push in the trigger, which is pretty cool.
Yes. Yeah, that's neat. I don't hate, is that a touchpad in the middle still?
Yeah.
It's just not a rectangle anymore. It's like a weird arc shape. Yeah, I don't know. I'm sure it's neat. I think I also had the same feeling about DualShock 4 until I touched it, and then that was like my favorite video game controller for a long time.
There's also other changes are it's got built-in microphone array, which I think is actually a bigger deal than it seems because it standardizes like sound input in a way that like everybody has it. So I think that's really interesting.
You don't actually need to plug in a headset, and presumably they figured out a way to deal with the echo so that like, I mean, you don't have to worry about like the screen bleeding through the mics,
or the click clack of buttons and shit like that. Like that would be my larger concern, I think.
They
got some smart people over there, and also haptic feedback. Do you know how that'll be integrated?
I don't know how it's different from like a rumble, to be honest.
There's you can feel like haptics if you've done any VR stuff. I know they do good use of like making it feel like there's tension if you're like pushing up against a wall or whatever. I don't know what that is like in a, I mean, in a controller.
Hey,
like got, in a standard controller.
Has it got paddles on the back? I feel like, because they introduced that with the new DualShock 4 accessory that you plug into it.
I don't think it has paddles, but have they shown the back of the controller anywhere? I don't think they have.
I don't know. I really like, I did, when I got the Xbox Elite Controller 2 to play like PC games with, I did not think that that was a feature I was going to be excited about. And now, like, especially when I play a shooter like Destiny, like, yeah. I almost only use the paddles on the back for jumping so that I don't have to, like, move my thumbs half as much to you know, take it off the right analog stick to, you know, press the ABXY inputs. So, like, yeah. It would be weird to me, especially for them to introduce an accessory that kind of, like, attaches that to the DualShock 4 to not have that. I wonder if there will be some sort of option, some sort of paddle gambit that you can go for.
Yeah, I think they didn't want to alienate, like, if you're a more casual player and then suddenly, oh my God, there's buttons on the back too. That seems like a lot to deal with.
Yeah, that's fair.
Does it seem weird to you guys to see this before the system?
It is kind of weird. Maybe it's because the system, like, doesn't look as interesting as this does.
Well, you would hope the design language is, like, you know.
Consistent, yeah. Consistent, that would be a weird looking box if it is consistent. A black and white thing.
I don't know what to believe at this point. I had heard rumors that there is something very strange and, like, interesting about the PlayStation 5. And I don't, like, I'm like serious when I say I don't know anything more about it. No, just, like, the console. That there is... Oh. Something about it that is unique. Okay.
It's invisible. It's intangible. Yeah,
it's the console not real.
The console is in your house.
Yeah. It's in the cloud. The literal console is in the cloud.
It's not it, but, like, my dream is that it's just the Vita, right? Like,
that'd be fresh.
Just bring it back.
But why would it have a controller?
No, it's maybe not. I know it's not. I just have dreams.
If you stretch, that's the haptic. If you stretch it out, a screen emerges.
Oh, in my the middle. Gosh.
Hey, we asked y'all for your thoughts on the Resident Evil franchise. Our email address is mail@besties.fan. You can tweet at us @TheBestiesPod. Here's an email we got from Pete. I played Resident Evil 4 on Switch. Never played RE before because it's so spooky. You told me it was the best one ever, Griffin. I trusted you. Now where am I? What was that? What was that tiny little big-hatted European bad boy? Did they know there are other colors than brown? Brown bad guys, brown walls, brown water. Nah, my boys, nah. Just joking. Love you all. And I listened to most of your Besties back catalog just because I love you. I don't play that many video games. Switch changed the game, though. Love me an indie Switch tile. Please talk more about the underground games that are grabbing you all. There's so many it gets difficult to navigate. Never would have played Minin if not for Griffin. I got Sexy Brutal because of Justin. Messenger thanks to Plant, and Dead Cells thanks to Fresh Take, I think. Purporting as Pete in protest, but really, Pete, your pal.
Oh, that's
very nice.
I like Pete.
Pete, I want you to check in every week, Pete. Just keep coming. I'll check in on you every week.
RE7 is the best Resident Evil, I think, at this point. But RE4, I don't know if RE4 holds up to scrutiny. Again, with motion controls, it was fucking fun as hell.
RE4 rocks. It's awesome.
Okay. This is a tweet from Michael. I tried to offset Resident Evil 4's creepiness by listening to a Jerry Seinfeld comedy album at the same time.
These are fucking good reader submissions.
Top 10. Mine is to just to keep the walkthrough in another tab. Mm. So I just always know what's coming and where all the everything is. I love that. It's the only way to play Resident Evil, in my opinion.
Next week, we get to talk about a game that I have been playing for a while, and I am so, so incredibly excited to talk to you all about. Final Fantasy VII Remake. It is, Justin, his lip, corner of his mouth, it went up, it gave it away.
I just wanted to say this good thing, that I'm very excited to talk about it, and much less excited to play it.
It is so good.
Did you play the demo?
Justin, or me?
It's fucking fun, man.
I'm 39 years old.
So you can't
play
demos
anymore.
Okay, fine.
I'm not going to fucking Nick's News and buying an OPM so I can get the disc out and check out Legacy of Kain's Soul Reaper. I'm 39. I play real-ass games for men. So we're going to be talking about Final Fantasy VII Remake Part 1, which they should morally be calling it.
Just half a game.
It's half a game that we did. It's half a game. But if you have your own hot take on Final Fantasy VII Remake, you can send it to mail at besties.fan or tweet it at us. Or if you have specific questions about it that you'd like us to sort of address, we'd be more than happy to do so.
It's not half a game. It's like even less. It's like
stop it.
It's great, y'all. It's like the game itself is so long,
even
but
in
it
this
is.
One,
it's like the first 5 hours of Final Fantasy VII.
All right,
spread out like butter, delicious butter.
If you finish it and you still are found wanting, just pick up Crisis Core and just fill in the fucking gaps.
Y'all,
get
thank you for
fucking the bouncer. That'll take care of it. Thanks for listening. Remember, you can follow and listen for free on Spotify. If you want to share the show with people, here's a great link to do it: besties.fan. Mail again, mail at besties.fan. The Besties Pod is our Twitter. Plan, am I forgetting anything?
And if you want to subscribe to the newsletter, you can do that. It's the top pinned tweet on our Twitter feed. Also, now's a good time to follow our Twitter feed as we talk about some plans that we'll have for the rest of the year in the upcoming weeks.
Great point, Plant. Well made. That is going to do it for us for this week. So be sure to join us again next week for the Besties. Because shouldn't the world's best friends pick the world's best games?
It's a Spotify original podcast in association with Vox Media. The show is edited by Jelani Carter. And our theme song is by Ian Dorsch.
Besties!